Thank you, Edna.
That was beautiful.
Thank you all. So is it just me, or are the children growing up faster than they used to these days? When I was a young parent, every day and every night was an eternity, managing the ever-present demands of small ones. And then, as if I'd fallen asleep or just taken a quick nap, it was all over. They were grown and gone. I'm stunned to realize that the kindergartners I met when I arrived here at UUCMC 10 years ago now are in high school. It's all too fast for me. These spinning cycles of time are only caught momentarily because of the marks of time we choose to keep. Ritual, real ritual that is alive with personal and communal meaning, marks our growth and our decline in circling seasons. This Jewish New Year offers lessons in that marking. The practice of self-evaluation is a healthy one, regardless of religious belief. On Friday, September 7th, at sundown, Jews here and around the world began their observance of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. On one level, it's a happy occasion marked with festivals, festive meals with family and friends, and the enjoyment of treats such as apples and honey, in anticipation of a sweet new year. But it's also a solemn time. Rosh Hashanah is the start of a 10-day period of reflection and repentance that culminates on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which begins this Tuesday evening and concludes on Wednesday at sundown. On this high holy day, Jews are instructed to commit to repentance, prayer, and charity to earn God's forgiveness for their sins. The tradition extends to interpersonal relationships too. It's just as important to gain forgiveness from the people we might have wronged. This tradition is a healthy practice for all of us, looking inward every once in a while and determining where we can improve in our treatment of others takes maturity and clear-eyed assessment of our strengths and weaknesses. It can be more than a little humbling, but every human being makes mistakes. It is in the system and in the way we are designed. It is the repetition of a holy day or holiday that creates a deep well of meaning for those who continue to practice it. Year after year, the family lights the candles, says the prayers, and makes amends for Yom Kippur. Season to season, nothing may seem to change very much. But well done, the marks will start to tell another story. It is a story of life itself, the sweetness, the sadness, the struggle, and the very, very shortness of it all. We each only get so many chances to show up, to mark the day and years, and offer our apologies and extend our forgiveness. This is always somewhat bittersweet news. I cannot help thinking today of all the years that Howard Dean, a longtime member here, a musician, opera singer, who died very recently. Every year he sang Kaddish in the service closest to Yom Kippur. Howard sang until he could not sing anymore. And he really fought that inevitable diminishing capacity. He fought it until he really did pass the baton. John Hoffman offered this story when he received news of Howard's death. I still miss being able to sit near him and follow his lead when we sang. One of my proudest moments is when he turned to me at the end of a service a few years ago and said, "John, you will have to keep them on pitch because I can no longer do it." John said he'd never been handed a blessing and a task more graciously. And I note with some relief that pitch was more important to Howard than his considerable pride. So we mark another new year, another trip around the sun. This year we have fresh grief for those who have died, as always, along with joy in new life growing and changing us once again. I am grateful to be here, to be a witness to it all, and so mark another season's passage. These rituals offer us all the opportunity to create and offer one another more dignity. To dignify every stage and age of life means to acknowledge the gifts of this moment, as well as the grief of letting go of that which can no longer possibly be. It is in relationship with family, friends, fellow congregants, other human beings that we arrive at larger truths, the ones about our interconnectedness, our ever curious reach towards the heavens and the good that can be known. In relationship with the mystery of all that was, all that is, and all that might yet be, we mark the day in circling cycles around the sun. It really is revolutionary. I assure you, there is real change happening. I love this old story for its reminder that life is more than what we can still remember. It is told that in every generation there are times when hope threatens to leave this world. At such times, the Baal Shem Tov, the great Jewish mystic, would go into a secret place in the forest. There he would light a special fire and say a special holy prayer, speaking the long-forgotten, most sacred name of God. Then the danger was averted, and hope stayed alive. In later times, when disaster threatened, the Magid of Mezrich, his disciple, would go to the same place in the forest and say, "Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I do not know how to light the fire, but I can say the prayer." And again, the danger was averted, and hope stayed alive. Still later, his disciple, Moshe Lieb of Sasov, would go to the same place in the forest and say, "Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I do not know how to light the fire or say the prayer, but I found my way to this place. That must be enough." And it was. Hope stayed alive. And still later, when Israel of Rezin needed intervention from heaven, he sat in his chair with his head in his hands and said, "Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I no longer know how to light the fire, nor how to say the prayer. I can't even find my way to that place in the forest. But I can tell the story, and that must be enough." And it was. And it still is. As long as the stories are told, hope stays in the world. So for me, so long as the seasons turn, so long as we mark in some way the time, the day, the year, hope stays in the world. This fundamentally religious in the sense of binding back through time and to our purpose, this regular habit of marking where we are in the cycle of things allows space for all the things we would choose to avoid in our ever-present busyness, things like grief or forgiveness, time for self-assessment and connecting with our failings and with those whom we may have harmed. The turning that sunrise and sunset represents is not just an external reality. While we ride upon this earth and have no choice regarding how it travels around the sun, the turning that we can control happens within our own hearts and minds. Jack Reamer wrote this poem on turning. "Now is the time for turning. The leaves are beginning to turn from green to red to orange. The birds are beginning to turn and are heading once more towards the south. The animals are beginning to turn to store their food for winter. For leaves, birds, and animals, turning comes instinctively. But for us, turning does not come so easily. It takes an act of will for us to make a turn. It means breaking with old habits, and that is never easy. It means recognizing that we have the ability to change. These things are hard to do, but unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways. So I invite you now to make some space to think about what it is hard for you to do right now. Is it hard to eat more healthily and exercise regularly? Yes. Is it hard to stay in relationship with a family member or a friend with whom we are in conflict? Is it hard to go to work or keep our patience with our children? Is it hard to stop drinking or smoking or some other addictive behavior? Is it hard to accept all the changes and all the challenges of our lives? Is it hard to resist all the wrongs being perpetrated upon ourselves and our neighbors, denying human rights and dignity to anyone living on the margins? Is it hard to let go of our anger? What is hard for you right now? Can you name it and see it in your mind's eye? Let's just sit with it for a moment of silence. For us, turning does not come so easily. It takes an act of will for us to make a turn. It means breaking with old habits, and this is never easy. It means recognizing that we have the ability to change. These things are hard to do. But unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways. So take this difficult thing in the picture you are imagining and carefully turn it. Can you see it from a different angle? How might someone else see it and describe it? How will future you describe the problem? And maybe describe how you made it turn. Our will can act in our own best interest if we give it a chance. None of us lives forever, so why wait another season to try? One of my favorite turning processes is metamorphosis. Like caterpillars into chrysalises, into butterflies that migrate thousands of miles every year, or acorns into oak trees, then after a long, long life of reaching for the sun, they return to compost to nurture the next round of seeds that can grow into their own oaks. For the changes we are talking about, the turning is that gradual and surprising, something like metamorphosis. We have to pause and step back to get a glimpse of the bigger picture. Day to day, it will seem like nothing changes at all. But a day turns into years, and a child has grown. A person has aged. Years fly swiftly by. While nature's designs do not require our effort to unfold, we are also designed for acts of will. That will is in our nature. And your will has only one power. One real power, and that is the power to turn your own heart around. This morning, Michelle has offered us another growth opportunity as we embrace family ministry for the benefit of our children and their families. As we think about the shift away from school towards a faith development in family and community altogether, it's good to remember one thing. People are not afraid of change. They are afraid of loss. One season's changing into another. It's natural and expected. The feelings of loss, they do fill the heart and sometimes overfill the eyes. Feelings of loss are so very real. I am so pleased, though, that ministry in and through our relationships among all ages and stages of life remains at the heart of progressive and ever-evolving faith. Freedom, reason, and tolerance, and most of all, love, are needed now more than ever. May we share them and live them in whatever way is possible, letting go of old habits that are no longer working for us. It should be what we do. It is hard, but we will turn. So I offer this prayer for the children, youth, and their leaders, and all who step into a new year with hope. A prayer for the lessons we must learn and unlearn again and again. Spirit of life, as a new year begins, we turn inward to reflect about the state of our lives. What lessons have we learned in the past year, and which new ones now call us forward? To whom do we still owe an apology or an expression of thanks? And with whom must we draw fresh boundaries so that we can all thrive? As we pause from our regular rhythms of rushing around, we open ourselves to new perspectives and possibilities. We give thanks for these moments and for the wisdom they afford us. May they help us bring together in the dynamics of sacred life so that we, as individuals and members of this community, might reach our full potential. So as we step over this new threshold, let this new year be a one of greater awe and gratitude, of deeper kindness and acceptance, and even more courageous acts of conviction. For a kinder, more equitable, and sustainable world is not only possible, she is on her way. And in the quietness of this sacred community, in the voices of the children and the songs of our hearts, we can ever hear her breathing. May it be so.